All right, we do want to thank everybody for being here today. We hope you had a good Thanksgiving, despite all the crazy situations and circumstances of our world. Being a Christian is a very, very hard calling. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but being a Christian is hard. It's difficult. And if any of you are sitting in here today and you're like, I don't think it's that hard, chances are you're probably not doing it right, okay? Being a Christian is the most difficult calling that you will face in this life, because it not only means being what you are supposed to be in front of everyone else, which is what most people already make the effort to do, but it means being who you say you are and being like Jesus, even when people aren't watching, which is what a lot of people don't do. It's about making those right choices, choosing Jesus Christ, choosing to sacrifice yourself for the kingdom. And Pastor Timmy talked about that the past couple weeks, talking about the kingdom, talking about what Jesus came to work for, and we're supposed to be sacrificing ourselves for that kingdom, okay? And we have a responsibility, we have an obligation more than anyone else in this world to be joyful. I want you to think about this morning. You and I have a calling, we have a responsibility more than anyone else in this world to be joyful, to be thankful, to give praise in spite of situations and circumstances, and to shine light into a dark world when there is no light to be found. Do you believe that this morning? That's something that we have to understand and believe in our hearts. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to be thankful, to be joyful, all right, to have hope, and to shine light into a dark world when there's no light to be found. And it's easy. As Christians, before 2020 ever hit, it was already hard to be a Christian, right? And even as 2020 comes in, all right, and it just slams us with a right hook, okay, knocks us for a loop this year, it becomes extremely difficult in times when you're frustrated, you're sad. I know some of you in here have probably been affected by coronavirus in some ways. You think about everything that we've endured this year. My brother-in-law, his grandfather, they called the family in this past week for his grandfather because he has COVID. They're not expecting him to make it. And so it's real, right? I mean, it's frustrating. And it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose focus when you get caught up in the world and you get focused on the moments of time and the struggles and the things of this life. But you and I have to remember that we have something extremely great to hope for. That's my challenge to you today. When we lit this candle this morning, thank you to Destiny and George for doing that for us, doing that video this week. When we talk about hope, all right, that's what we're focusing on this week, hope. When we talk about hope, you and I as followers of Jesus Christ have to understand that no matter what happens in this world, we have something great to hope for. The world could burn down and fall apart around us, and you and I have something great to hope for and to continue living for. It's the kingdom of God. It's eternal life. It's meeting Jesus Christ face to face, knowing that we have an eternity where there's not going to be sickness. There's not going to be viruses. There's not going to be discrimination. There's not going to be rioting. There's not going to be social injustices. All the things that we've struggled through and we've fought through this year as a country and as a world, you're not going to have to deal with that one day. We have the hope of eternal life that's going to be perfect. And it's so different from what we know. A lot of times it's hard for us to remind ourselves of that, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to look forward to heaven because we can't even imagine what perfection is going to be like, what it's going to be like to see Jesus face to face. And our series this month as we enter into this Christmas season is called The Weary World Rejoices. I had to say that slow so I don't get tongue-tied because I really butchered it this morning in the first service. The Weary World Rejoices. And I think if there was ever a time that we as a people have been weary, it's now. Anybody ready for 2020 to be done? Move on to 2021. How many of you are scared to go into 2021? A little bit. Okay, we got some people's hands raised. But guys, we're weary. I mean, it's not just us. It's everybody. The world is weary. We're living in a time that I believe everyone is just ready for these things to just pass. We're just ready to be done, move on to the next thing. Viruses, politics, weather, social injustices, riots, etc. We've said that just a minute ago. But we've been through the ringer this year. And we need to be reminded as followers of Jesus. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you need to be reminded this morning that you are called to bring a hope, to not only cling to hope in your own life, but to bring a hope to this world that is dark and miserable and suffering and struggling right now during this time. You and I have a calling to do that. And hope is one of the roots of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he talks about three things that last forever. He says there are three things that are eternal that you can have in this life, that you can cling to. One of them is faith. Faith initiates our relationship with Christ. It sustains our relationship with Christ. The second one was hope, which is what we're talking about today. Hope lasts forever. You and I have to understand that we have to have a hope of what is to come in order for us to really live out our Christian lives the way that God has called us to. Because without hope of eternal life, you're not going to do what you need to do in this life in order to get there. Does that make sense? You're not going to sacrifice. You're not going to choose the right thing. You're going to want to cut corners. You're going to want to take the easy way out because that's what most people do. And it's really tempting when you see there's an easy path and then there's a hard path. And the path to Christ is hard. So when you see that easy path, it's really tempting to walk down that easy path. We have to have hope to know that our eternity is worth traveling down that hard path. Because being a follower of Christ is extremely difficult. And the third thing that lasts forever was love. To love one another, to love God. If we don't have love in our hearts, we can't be what Christ has called us to be. Faith, hope, love. Without those three things, you don't have eternity. Those are the only three things in this world that's eternal that we can have. We have to have faith, hope, and love. And today we're talking about love. You look at the Bible. Go back to Genesis. You look from Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi. We're just talking about Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with passages of Scripture of people who not only had faith in God, who served God, but had a hope of what was to come. And every single person that you read about in the Old Testament had a hope and believed with all of their heart that there was a Messiah that was coming, that Jesus Christ was going to be born and save them from their sins. They had that hope. We're going to focus on that today. But you look at Abraham. Abraham had faith in God, but he had hope that what God had promised him was going to come true, that not only would he have descendants as many as stars in the sky and sand along the seashore, but that the Savior was going to come from his lineage one day. Do you think Abraham struggled with that faith and hope sometimes? Absolutely. You read back at Scripture, there's a time where Abraham sits down and he's ready to give up and he's frustrated and he has, I always call it a powwow, he has this powwow with God and he says, God, what use is all this stuff that you've given me? You've given me wealth and servants and animals. I got so many donkeys, I don't know what to do with them. But what good is all that stuff when I don't even have an heir to leave this to? I don't have a son of my own. My servant is going to inherit everything I have because I don't have descendants. I don't have a son. And God had to reaffirm his covenant with Abraham multiple times because even though Abraham had faith and he had hope, there was times where he struggled with that. Same thing with Moses in the promised land. Same thing with the people of Israel when they were in slavery. How many times do you think the people of Israel were sitting there making bricks, being whipped and mistreated, and they believed that one day God was going to rescue them because that was what was prophesied. They were told that one day God's going to bring them out of the land. How many times do you think they sit around and they got discouraged and they wanted to give up and lose faith in God? Probably a lot. Think about how many times of things that we go through in this life, especially this year, where we're just sitting around and say, God, where are you? How could you let this happen? How can this be going on? If you're there, why are you letting this happen? And more than ever, we have to get to this point where we're clinging to this hope. And you look at the Old Testament and everyone in the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, throughout the whole thing, every one of them were faithful to God and they believed in God because they believed that one day God was going to send the Messiah to rescue them from their sins. And they remained faithful and they remained true to God and they served him to the bitter end no matter what because they believed that one day this was going to happen. And realize this morning. There might be something in your life that you're clinging to, you're hoping for, you really want to happen, you're getting discouraged, and you're like, God, if you don't make this happen, I might just give up. Look back at these people in the Old Testament. Over 400 and something prophecies of the Messiah was written in the Old Testament. Thousands of years from Genesis to Malachi, written down scripture talking about the coming of the Messiah, not a single one of them ever got to see him or experience the Messiah for themselves. But they wrote about it, and they clung to it, and they believed it. And today, you and I are piggybacking I want you to understand this. We're piggybacking off of the faith of the people in the Old Testament who believed what they never got to experience. You and I have got to experience what it means to have faith and love in Jesus Christ. You and I have got to experience what it means to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives to give us that taste of what it is going to be like when we stand before God in eternity. We get a taste of that. They never even got a taste. They believed. So today, as we're talking about our faith, we're talking about this world, we have to understand that we have everything to hope for and nothing to lose. Everything to hope for, nothing to lose. Let's read Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. All right? Matthew is writing about Jesus. He's talking about him, okay? He is referencing Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4 when he writes this. So basically, when you read Matthew, verses 18 through 21, you're also reading Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. So you're getting two for the price of one. All right? So let's read this together. It says, "Look at my servant whom I have chosen." This is Isaiah. He's writing about Jesus, and he's writing from the perspective of God. He's giving the people of Israel a message from God. All right, so this is almost like God speaking through Isaiah. It says, "Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle." So we're talking about the personality of Jesus, who we're supposed to mimic. We're supposed to follow in his footsteps. All right? We're not supposed to fight or shout in public. We're not supposed to crush weaker people who are weaker than us. We're not supposed to put out even a flickering candle. All right? We're supposed to be gentle and merciful and loving, following in his footsteps. And he goes on and says, "Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious." And look at verse 21. It says, "And his name will be the hope of all the world." And when we're sitting in here today, I want you to realize point number one. Write this down, take notes, take this home with you this morning. Christmas, when we celebrate Christmas, it's all about hope. For thousands of years, all throughout the Old Testament, all those people had the hope of what would happen one day on that Christmas day when Jesus Christ was actually born. We celebrate Christmas today based off the hope of what people in the Old Testament have. And we celebrate Christmas still, not to get gifts, not to eat, not to have parties, not to do all that stuff. We should be celebrating Christmas because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And not only for what he did in the past, but for what he's going to do in the future. We're still called to have hope. Christmas is all about hope. It's all about the joy of having hope of what's to come. When I was in elementary school, we had a boy from first all the way through fifth grade. After elementary school, I don't know what happened to him. He just moved, disappeared. His family were Jehovah's Witnesses. They didn't celebrate Christmas. They didn't celebrate any holidays, okay? And I can remember at Christmas time for 5 years, all the way through elementary school, as December hit and we were excited about Christmas, all right? We had hope of what Christmas was going to be like, right? How many of you are excited about Christmas? All right? You excited about anybody excited about getting gifts this year? It's okay. You can be honest. How many of you are excited about giving gifts? Some of you. It's a little different, all right? It's a little different when you're an adult and you're a kid. But as a kid, you have everything to hope for and nothing to lose. Kids don't have to save money. They don't have to buy the presents. All right? They just make out this big magic wish list and like hopefully Santa's going to bring it all to them. But every year when it hit December, we had Christmas parties and we were giving gifts to one another and we had Christmas plays and we would all go to the cafeteria on stage in the cafeteria and we would sing Christmas songs and we would do a little PTA thing and everybody would sing and it probably sounded terrible. Everyone told us how great it sounded because that's what parents do. He never got to go. He never got to get gifts. He never got to interact with us. He never got to eat the candy. He never got to eat the junk food. He never got a gift from anybody. He never got the joy of giving a gift to anybody. And every year when we had a party or when we had to go sing and practice in the cafeteria, he had to go to the library and do schoolwork while all of us were having fun. And when I think about even understanding as a kid the joy of what hope brings to people, we had everything to hope for. We had so much fun. It was such a great experience for us. And every year he knew that during that time, you could tell he hated December. because he was going to be ostracized. He didn't have the hope of experiencing what we were going to experience. Hope is a powerful thing. You and I have to understand that this morning. Hope is a powerful thing. And when we're talking about the concept of hope, you and I as adults need to realize that the idea of hope in our lives is so important. Not only for you personally, but for your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your coworkers, everybody who you're around. If you don't have hope, you don't have a witness. If you don't have something better to look forward to, no matter what the situations and circumstances are, if you don't have the hope and the happiness of being in Jesus Christ despite what's going on around you, you don't have a witness. You can't talk to other people about Christianity, about being a follower of Christ, if you don't have hope. When you look at this, let's read another passage. All right, I'm going to give you two for the price of one again. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. Luke is writing. He's talking about Jesus. He's explaining what Jesus has done, the ministry of Jesus. And he's also referring back to writings of the Old Testament to prove who Jesus was. And this right here, this is King David. Verse 25 says, King David said this about him. I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad. And my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. This is David. This is Old Testament. This is pre-Jesus. This is pre-Messiah. Okay? He's writing about this, and he is happy. He is joyful. He is praising. His body is resting in hope. Look at verse 27. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. He's prophesying. He's talking about himself. You're not going to allow his body to rot in the grave, and you're not going to allow the Holy One to remain dead. He knows that when the Messiah comes, the Messiah is going to forgive sin, create the opportunity to have eternal life in heaven, and he's going to be resurrected from the dead. He's talking about all that right here. Okay, this is one of the Psalms. All right? This is referring to one of the Psalms. It's verse 28. It says, you have shown me the way of life, and you have filled me with the joy of your presence. And this is David having the hope of salvation before salvation was ever available to them. And if people in the Old Testament had faith and hope in God and in the possibility of salvation, which they never got to experience, how much more should you and I have the hope of salvation now, since we do get to experience Jesus Christ, his love, mercy, forgiveness, and the power of the Holy Spirit? We have a responsibility and an obligation to have hope. Even King David hoped for a time of salvation. And if you read the Old Testament, it didn't matter how many sacrifices he made. It talks about David sacrificing thousands of animals in worship to the Lord, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, doing all this stuff. He knew that it would never, ever forgive him and make him right with God, because he knew the sins in his life were too great. There had to be a Messiah, and he was looking forward to that. And when Jesus came, I want you to think about this. This is why we celebrate Christmas. When Jesus came, it fulfilled all the hope that everyone from the Old Testament believed in, that they had, that they waited for their entire lives, and they never got to experience. Jesus fulfilled that hope for them. They are not going to rot in the grave. They're going to be resurrected with Christ on Judgment Day, because they had faith in what was to come. And you and I this morning, we have to have that faith. So point number two this morning, hope is needed in this world. You need to write this down, because this world needs it now more than ever. When you look at what we're experiencing, it is easy to lose hope when you're suffering, when you're struggling, when you're frustrated, when you're focused on things that are happening around you. It is easy to lose hope and get discouraged. Any of you ever sit there and come to this point in your life when you say, I can't do this? I can remember there were games that we played when I was in school, and you feel like the referees or the umpires were so against you that there was no power that you had to overcome the odds, and you get demoralized and you want to give up. There's times where that happens in life. It happens in relationships. It happens with jobs. It happens with money. And so many times in life, if we're not careful, if we get wrapped up and focused on situations and circumstances, it's easy for us to lose hope. And when we lose hope, what do? We give up. We quit. As followers of Christ, We cannot give up. And I want to reiterate something that Pastor Timmy said a couple weeks ago, because I was sitting back there with my wife. I was just attending. It was great. I hadn't got a chance to do that in probably like 10 years, to just attend a service without being involved in something. It was awesome. Thank you for letting me do that. But I was sitting back there, and I was like fist pumping quietly and like thinking to myself, amen. You know, it's like if I was a shouter and, this is not me. If you know me well, you know that I'm not comfortable standing up in front of you doing this. But I'm back there saying amen, fist pumping, because he was talking about how in our world, you know, this year, we've experienced something that basically the rest of the world has been experiencing for all of eternity. Sickness and disease is something that a lot of the rest of the world deals with on a daily basis. Riots, social injustices, you know, you think about, just wiping out complete groups of people, genocide, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on around the world that we're completely shielded from, okay? So can we just be blunt this morning? Can I just have the permission to just, let's have a reality check, okay? Because I just want to talk about this again, because I think Pastor Timmy was really onto something. Yes, these times are difficult, and yes, they're frustrating. I'm sure that Thanksgiving was frustrating for a lot of you. I'm sure that life has been ridiculous work. I know running the church has been extremely hard this year. It's been extremely frustrating. But when you look around the rest of the world and you look at everything that the world endures on a daily basis in other countries and other people, man, we got it good. Do you believe that this morning? We really do have it good. I mean, when you think about coronavirus, I mean, if you get it, like I said, my brother-in-law's grandpa may pass away from it this week. And it is real, and it hurts. But if you think about it, like, we are so shielded from what the rest of the world is having to experience. At worst, we're having to wear masks and stand 6 feet apart. There are other countries who have guards standing outside their door and forcing them to stay inside their homes at all times, not allowing them to leave. We've got it good. Yes, there are social injustices, but there's other countries around the world that are killing entire groups of people. Nothing's perfect here, but man, we got it good. And we need a reality check. Guys, I love this statistic. I use it a lot, and I'll say it again. You know, so many times as Americans, we base wealth off of how much money you have or how much assets you have. If you ever apply for a loan, you got to list all your assets and all those things that you have. And in reality, you basically have nothing, because now you're in debt because you go into a loan. But if you have drinkable water coming out of a spigot in your home, I want you to think about this for a second. If you have drinkable water coming out of a spigot in your home, you are among the top 25% wealthiest people in the world. That should put a reality check into our lives. We have a lot to be thankful for. There are frustrating things. There's a reason why they say, like, we have first world problems. You know, it's like my lawnmower broke. Like, having grass and not being able to cut it is a first world problem. You understand that? Having a leaking toilet, first world problem. We should be thankful we even have a toilet. I've been to some of our kids' houses in our youth group who didn't have toilet, didn't have running water, didn't have electricity. The things that frustrate us and bring us down, they're serious, and they do have an impact on us, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but I do want us to take a step back to breathe and say, okay, things are frustrating, things are different, but man, we still have it good. We have a lot to thank God for and to praise Him for. We have a lot to be hopeful for. You know, we hope that one day this will go away, but even if it doesn't, guess what? This world was never intended to be perfect. Jesus did not design this world to be perfect, because He's always wanted us, you, and me, to have a hunger and a thirst for something better to come. And the older you get, the more you realize this. And I was talking with our first service this morning, we have some older people in there, and we talk about older people's bodies beginning to fail them. And you will hear a lot of older people, you know, I look forward to the day when I can be in eternity and I get a new body. When your body gets old and it starts breaking down, that's one of the first things people start saying is, I look forward to having a new body because my body don't work no more. As long as we live in this world, this world will be contaminated with sin and hurt and pain and suffering. And it's meant to be that way so that you and I will always have a hunger and a hope for what is to come. You and I are called to have that hope. And you look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. It's another reality check. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. He says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment." So I'm saying this morning, I want you to understand that if you hope in Jesus Christ, you have to understand what we're hoping for is guaranteed. Everything in this life that we cling to, we're hoping coronavirus goes away. There could be another virus. There could be something else happen. Anything, once you move past one problem in the world, does it not seem like another one comes along? Can it? Oh man, y'all at least got to give me an amen on that. Okay, you can at least amen on a negative something if you're not going to amen on other stuff. But when you hope in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be disappointed. It's guaranteed. There is something better to come. It doesn't matter what you move past in this world. You're only moving on to the next problem. But in eternity, everything is going to be perfect. We're going to be standing face to face with Jesus. Verse 5, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." So let me remind you this morning, when Paul is writing this letter, Christians are not being mocked, they're not being poked fun at, they're not being discriminated against. Christians were being put on spikes, covered in oil, burned, and used as torches to light the night for Roman citizens. They were being sent to the arena and killed by gladiators and wild animals for people's entertainment. They were being put on trial and they were being crucified just like Christ. And so, yes, our struggles and our frustrations are real. They do have an impact on us. They will cause you to give up. They will cause you to struggle or be tempted to give up. But reality check. What we're going through is nothing compared to what other people has gone through. We have a lot to be thankful for. Okay, let's not focus on 2020 as being so glum and grim and it being the worst year ever. We have a lot to be thankful for. Now is a perfect opportunity for us to show our love for Jesus Christ, to praise and worship him and adore him in spite of all the things going on around us, because that's what we've been called to do. And we said it this morning during the first service, you look at this candle right here. You look at this little bitty light, and right now there's not a single shadow anywhere in this room because of this light, because there's so much other light around it. All this artificial light takes away the significance of the light that comes from this small little candle. But when you begin to cut out these lights and you taped over those windows and you didn't let anything come in and you made this room completely dark, it is amazing at how much light this little bitty candle will actually put off. The light from this one candle will fill a significant portion of this room when it's given the opportunity to shine the way that it's supposed to be. I honestly believe that Jesus and God is sitting up in heaven and they're just taking the dimmers and they're turning the dimmers down to provide you and I with the opportunity to shine a light into a dark world. We have been praying so long as a church for Jesus to help us see people get saved, for help us to impact people's lives, to help people to turn away from their sins and to begin to follow him. What better time to do it when people are sick and hurting and desperate? You and I cannot focus on the situations and circumstances. We have to take advantage of the situations and circumstances, because there's no better time to love people and minister to people than now. People are looking for a light. People are looking for the opportunity to see where they're going, what they should be fighting for, what they should be hoping for, and you and I have the hope that they should be living for and searching for. Point number 3. Hope is needed for salvation. If If you really want to make it to eternity, if you want to see Jesus face to face, you're not going to do it without hope. You're not going to live your life. You're not going to forsake sin. You're not going to forsake personal desires. You're not going to forsake unhealthy relationships. You're not going to give up things in this world if you don't have hope that something better awaits you on the other side. You believe that? I mean, like if we said this year, you could live homeless. Be homeless and have no income for this year, and next year every one of you would get $10 million. How many of you would do it? How many of you would sacrifice your home, your cars, all your family's stuff, your family's comfort, for you and your family to live out on the street and be homeless for 1 year in order to get $10 million next year? Some of you are like, yes, I would definitely do that. Yes, I would definitely. Others of you are like, I like being comfortable. I don't really know. If you're like me, it's like, I can't stand being cold. I can do heat, 110 degrees, wouldn't care. 50 degrees, I'm hurting. I'm like dying. There's so many people in this world who don't have the hope of eternity, and they don't hope in it enough to sacrifice things in this world in order to receive it. Think about how many people claim to have faith in Jesus Christ and don't turn away from their sins. Don't sacrifice things of this world in order to see the kingdom of God being built, see the kingdom of God grow. Don't take time away from their hobbies and other things that are eating up their time in their life in order to witness and minister to other people. Don't love other people because it takes time and effort, and a lot of times they don't love you back. If we don't have hope that there's something better, we're not going to make it. We're not going to run that race. And I used this a couple weeks ago, and I won't use it again because I feel like it so greatly explains the hope that we should have in Jesus Christ. It's Romans 8, 23 through 25. It says, "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory." Salvation and the Holy Spirit dwelling within you is just a foretaste of what we will have in eternity. "For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering." Again, the younger you are, the harder it is for you to understand why you would want this. But the older you get and the more your body begins to ache and the more you realize that you're just running through rabbit holes. The older you get, the more kind of pointless life seems in a lot of ways. You're just fighting the same battles over and over again. The older you get, the more you look forward to eternal life. And Paul's talking about this. "We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children." All right? They're waiting. They're eagerly awaiting for God to give them their full rights, including the new bodies that he has promised. And these people aren't old. Their bodies haven't started breaking down yet. These are the people that Paul is writing to that are suffering and dying. They're being punished. They're being beaten. They're being torn apart for their faith in Christ. Verse 24, "We were given this hope when we were saved." You look at what's in parentheses. It says, "If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently." And this morning, you have to understand the whole process of salvation, of accepting Jesus Christ into your life and putting your trust and faith in him, it is a long process of patiently hoping and waiting for something that's to come. You are giving yourself up so that you can have something better later. And you can use it for any analogy. You can use it for like investing now, save now so you have more later. You talk about Dave Ramsey, you talk about investing in properties, investing in something so you can make money down the road. If you understand the concept of investment, that's what Christianity is. You're sacrificing in this life to invest in something that you believe is going to give you greater dividends later on. You're going to have more, have better later on because of what you sacrifice and give up now. That's the whole concept of Christianity. That's what Jesus promoted his whole life. When Jesus came and he lived among us, he was homeless. He had no place to lay his head. He didn't have all the things that even people during his time had. He gave it up so that he could have more later, so that he could give us more later. We have to have hope. So many Christians get discouraged. Why don't you think about how many people who claim to be Christians give up? They return to old habits. They lose hope. And guys, we can't lose hope. We have to cling. You have to cling to hope this morning. You have to cling to the concept of understanding that there's something better waiting for you on the other side. Jesus talked about this over and over and over again. He explains it in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 45. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Look at the example. He sells everything. He gives up everything in order to get what he found because it's worth it. We have to understand and hope and believe with all of our hearts that what Jesus has to offer us in eternity is worth anything that we may have to give up now. And we don't know. You don't know. Jesus may not necessarily ask you to sell everything and move to a foreign country or be homeless or whatever. We don't know what Jesus is going to ask us to do. When I got saved, I had no idea Jesus was going to call me into ministry. But it's one of those things, we go into it. We go into it with faith saying, "Jesus, I'm yours. Lead me wherever you want me to go." If many of you know me well, you've heard me say it time and time again, I never wanted to be a pastor. There's always times I was like, I don't want to get up in front of people and talk. I do not like getting up in front of people and talking. But we have to have the attitude of, "Jesus, wherever you lead us, whatever you want us to give up, I'm willing to do it because it's worth it. Whatever he calls us to do, it's worth it." In verse 45, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovers a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it because it was worth it." Whatever you desire, whatever you hope for, and any of you with any age and wisdom in your life at all will understand this. Whatever you hope for and whatever you want, whatever sacrifice you have to make in order to get it is worth it. Whatever you have to do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and inherit eternal life, it's worth it. Don't ever think that it's not. Jesus constantly communicated this. And this morning, you have to decide what you believe. You have to decide whether or not you really believe in Jesus or whether or not you're like, "Oh, it's a coin toss, maybe, I don't really know. You know, some parts of the Bible I believe, other parts I don't." You can't pick and choose. You look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 20. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He is talking to them. He's telling them about Jesus Christ. He's telling them about his birth, his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. He's telling them about everything, and he's defending the whole thing. And look at what he says in verse 17. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised..." Okay? He's talking to them. He says, if you don't believe in the whole thing, if you're not trusting in the whole thing, "if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins." So even though Jesus came and he was born, and even though he set the example and he performed all these miracles, and even though he died on the cross for your sins, if Jesus didn't really raise from the dead and you don't believe that, you're still guilty of your sins. 18. "In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost." Because you can't just believe in part of it. You have to believe in the whole thing. You have to have hope in the whole thing. Because if you don't, you're not going to get it. Verse 19, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life," if you're not looking to eternity, and you're not looking forward to heaven, and you're only using Christianity for this life, "we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." The only thing worse than going to hell, the only thing worse than going to hell would be to live in this life, to sacrifice, to give up everything that Jesus has called us to do, and then it not be real. To me, that would be worse than going to hell. But what Paul is saying is that when you put your trust in Jesus Christ completely and you believe in his birth, his life, the miracles, his teachings, the death, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit. When you believe in everything as a package, you have everything to hope for and nothing to lose. But if you take any of those pieces out, it all falls apart and it's no good. You have so many people today, so many people, so many pastors, youth pastors, people coming out of college who've studied Scripture, going into ministry, who are saying that the Bible is not literal. It's figurative. And my challenge to people is, look, sit here this morning and take this for however you want to take it. But if you look at God's Word and any of it ever becomes figurative, if any of it ever becomes where man can manipulate it and make it either be reality or not reality, it's no good. It diffuses the whole thing, because if there's any part of it that's figurative, it all becomes figurative. But if it's all reality and it's 100% truth and we apply it to our lives as 100% truth, then it's powerful. Then it means something. We have everything to hope for and nothing to lose. And when you're sitting here this morning, you think, oh, you know, should I believe the Bible? Yes, believe God's Word. Should I believe in the story of Jesus? Yes, believe everything. Because if you don't, you're not going to live the way that He's called you to. You're not going to see Him face to face one day in the way that you want to see Him, if you don't believe it to be true. If you take God's Word and you take the story of Jesus Christ and you believe it to be 100% true and you apply it to your life, what do you have to lose? And I always have people say, well, when Jesus was talking about, you know, should we cut off our hand if it causes us to sin? I mean, like, was He really being literal or was He being figurative? He says it's better for you to enter into eternal life with one hand than it is for your rest of your body to burn in hell. That's how significant sin is. We should be willing to do whatever we can do in order to refrain from sin and serve God in order to have eternal life. Whether it's cut off our hand or gouge out our eye. Guys, I'm challenging you this morning. Know what you believe. Know what you're hoping for. Decide in your life what you're going to believe and what you're going to hope for, because it's going to affect every other aspect of your relationship with Christ. If you leave out one aspect, it's going to affect it in a very, very significant way. In order for you to get to the end and to see Jesus face to face and spend eternity with Him, you're going to have hope in your life for what it is that you're going for. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe what Jesus is calling you to? Do you really believe in the story of His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His teachings? You have to make a decision on what you're going to believe. And so many times Jesus calls us to sacrifice, to give up things of this world in order to have eternal life, in order to put our treasure in heaven. Store up treasure in heaven is what He calls us to do. Christmas and salvation are all about hope. It's all about what we have to look forward to. And when you have hope, when you have something to look forward to, you don't have anything to regret. Let's pray together and I'll let you go. Father, I thank You for the group of people who are here today. And God, I thank You for the ones who are watching online. I thank You for the ones who are going to listen to this later on the podcast. And God, I know that it is a difficult teaching to accept when we talk about taking Scripture literally. It is a difficult teaching when we talk about being willing to give up anything in this life in order to see Your face and spend eternity with You. But God, that's the reason why so many people turn away. It's the reason why so many people give up. And God, I pray today that You will, first of all, speak into our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You would reveal truth to us. God, I pray that right now, if there's anybody who's listening to this, anybody sitting in this room right now who is skeptical, who doesn't necessarily believe, whether or not this is true, that God, you will speak to their heart and you will help them to know it in every ounce that they are, in their gut, in their heart, that all of this is true, that you are real, and that there is an eternity waiting for us that we have to hope for. And Jesus, I pray that no matter what the struggles are, the situations, the circumstances, that we would not focus on things of this world, but God, we would be joyful and praise you in spite of all the things going on around us, that other people will take note and they will ask questions and give us the opportunity to speak to them and to share your gospel with them. God, use what you have called us to do, to have hope and to set that example and to be that light. Use that to help us be a witness to the rest of this world. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for what this Christmas season means to us eternally, but also what it means in this world. Lord, we are so blessed to be able to celebrate this holiday in the way that we do with all the gifts and all the parties and all the food. Lord, thank you for that. But Lord, help us to remember and celebrate, more importantly, the sacrifice of your Son. We love you and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.